I know we have a lot of campuses gathered together, so it's a good opportunity to hear from one another what's going on every campus, even related to the high gospel.
Amen.
Right? We're on the high gospel.
Amen.
So, you know, we thought maybe this would be a good time to present some practical points. So we'll start with some practical points and mix in the practical points on speaking the high gospel in your daily living. We will have testimonies of some that have experienced it.
Wow.
So you can see, again, how to enter into it.
Amen.
And then after we have those sharings, we'll have about maybe 30 to 45 minutes of breaking up into groups and getting to know one another. Maybe share your enjoyment from the conference and some experiences that you've had in the past concerning this matter.
Amen.
Of speaking the gospel, receiving the gospel, having struggles with the gospel, praying for the gospel. So I hope that this is a time for everybody. I don't know, what do you think here, brother? Let's start by... is there a verse we can read all together? How about Matthew? If everyone has their Bibles, and we'll see this in a more specific way. Matthew 28:19, and 20. Does everyone have it? Okay, ready? Go.
Go,
therefore, and disciple the nations,
baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you
all the days. So this is go, therefore, and disciple all the nations and teaching them.
Amen.
So this what we're talking about really is this word go. And this we'll really get into this tomorrow morning. But we thought it would be good to see some experiences from the students of go. So the first practical point that we're going to give you about going is when you go, you just bring whatever you enjoy. And so a lot of us are involved in Bible studies. Maybe there's some kind of college meeting on your campus. You're in a home meeting. Maybe you have an appointment with another person to read the Bible together. Some of the best time to go is when you're filled up. Because when you're filled up with the Lord, something will flow out.
Amen.
Right? Something will go out to speak to others. So... it's a good practice whenever you feel like you don't have a way to speak something to others to just get filled up. So let's have Santiago come up. You wanna share something about this, brother?
Well, I can just say something about going, about speaking. So our first point is speak what you enjoy. Colossians 4:6 says that let your speech always be with grace.
Amen.
So we just want to open up. You know, we want the students to speak their experience. That whatever you enjoy, sometimes, like Nathan said, many times we're not filled up. And one good example is in the Bible studies or in the appointments, we learn something of Christ. And after we learn something, that's the best time to go.
Yeah.
To go and speak something for the Lord.
Amen.
So let's say something.
Yeah.
All right.
Do I have to wear the mic then?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
Just,
so what the brother was saying, we have a thing every Tuesdays and Wednesday when I fellowship with my, I consider them as my mentors. You know, they're helping me as to grow up spiritually. Every time you read something spiritually in the Bible, because right now we're reading the book, The Economy of God, which is His plan, and then we finish chapter 2, and then right after we finish chapter 1, that's everything. Every time we fellowship, we have to go and talk to one person or two, you know, put that seed in their heart, you know, because we have to go disciple to those nations and tell God, tell them about God, that He's real, He's coming again for us.
Amen.
And another experience I have is with my friend. I have this friend I have known for since senior year. He knew that I was Christian, but I would never talk to him about God. Since I don't know, that was me. I don't know why I did that. Until I came to the Bible studies, you know, it touched me that I have to go and talk to this actually my brother about him, about God, and, you know. Or I was in the car, I was driving because we take carpool together to go to school. I was in the car and I told him, hey, you know what, something cool about God. And he's like, yeah. I was like, you know, I studied with the seed of the mustard. And then he got so amazed and he wanted to know more about God. Mm. And then I was like, you know about, because we're hearing the radio, and then this song, like, he loves the song Our God. So every time on the radio the song Our God comes out, he loves it. And you know, from that point to this point on, every time he's in my car, we put up Christian music. He talks about God. You know, I honestly think that he's a believer now, even though he's not 100% Christian, but he believes that there's a God.
Amen.
Out here, and he's coming back for us.
Amen.
And I encourage you guys. You know, it's not hard to talk to people, because, you know, I'm actually nervous, but it's really nervous when you go talk to people. But you can say, as simple as, like, I actually, when I go to talk to people about what I learn about fellowship, I'm like, hey, you want to know something? I just read a couple minutes ago. I'm like, yeah, sure. And then, you know, that's where I share with them what I just fellowship, and then that's where I bring the gospel to them, you know,
and
receive Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
And that's it, guys. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Wow, is that wonderful?
Amen.
So sometimes, you know, in the student life, many times you wake up in the morning, wake up late, rushing to class, right? And then here there's a chance for the gospel, and like, oh, I have nothing.
Yeah.
But praise the Lord, their Bible studies and the appointments where we can be filled with the Word.
Yeah.
And we can go out and just speak or we just enjoy it.
Right.
Okay, the second point, so we're just giving you a few practical points, is companions.
Mm.
And two verses we have here is Daniel 2:17. I like this verse. It says, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. So Daniel was one who was always surrounded with companions. And this is one way of which it's easy to pursue the Lord. And also it's easy to speak the gospel. As I speak more about it, I'll let Jethro and David come up. You know, with companions, it's easy. You know, sometimes in some campuses, for example, the campus I'm in, the brothers and sisters have a certain spot where they come and they just hang out. And just by that hanging out, just being together, it's easy to bring their other friends that they're not able to speak the gospel with to come in, listen to the gospel. And so, and this is just one way for our friends or your classmates to come and know the Lord. And the other verse I have is Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. It says, two are better than one, because they are good reward for their labor. So if one falls, the other one will lift up his companion. So this is very true. Many times we're in situations where we barely can make it during the day, but then we see the brothers, or then we see the sisters, and then we are revived, right? So I'll let them. How about that? Are you together?
Hi there, my name is Jethro. I'm a freshman at OCT, and I was actually baptized around a month ago, and actually saved 2 days before that.
Wow.
So my first year at OCT, my brother, he's over there, but he kind of introduced me to the saints at OCT. And at first, I loved being around them. They were so nice. They were so, they were like a family. And the more I was kind of around them, I guess I just I started to feel, you know, kind of something inside. At first, I was raised as a Roman Catholic, so I had a lot of doubts in my faith, and I was hanging with them, not really ready to go back to the Lord. But as I started spending more time with some specific saints and going to home meetings, I started to feel something inside me as we sang songs and prayed together. And eventually, one of the brothers asked me if I was saved or not. And I wasn't really quite sure, you know, what it meant to be saved or, you know, what the concept really meant. And it was really emotional for me, but what I was able to say was that I wasn't sure if I was saved, but I felt a calling from the Lord.
Wow.
And it was this calling that kind of motivated me to pursue this calling. So later on after that, I got baptized, and it was the best decision I've ever made in my life.
Amen. Amen. So what Kevin was just sharing about the busy person is usually busy. I'm pretty busy. I'm everywhere. When I'm on campus, I'm doing something, or else I'm meeting with the saints. But what I'm trying to say is that when I see the saints on campus, it just makes my day, because it just makes me just focus on the saints and not everything else around me. I just really enjoyed it, because, you know, you could be speaking to the saints about anything. You know, it could be anything you speak about, not just about, you know, the Bible. Just to get to know the person, just to get to make him comfortable with you, you know, especially the new ones on all these campuses. Just have them be, just feel comfortable. And then they'd be more open to you, and then you can start preaching the gospel to them. That's in a way I'm kind of trying to do it, you know, trying to get to know them very well, and, you know, whatever they like, try to get into it. Or after that, just read the Bible, invite them to any meetings, and just enjoy it with them. And like the Bible studies, I try to do the Bible studies, you know, I'm in the zone right there. You have to be in the zone right there, just enjoying the word.
Amen.
So it's just the best time of, it's the best time of the week.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. With your companions, get into the zone.
Amen.
With your companions, all with companions, it's possible.
Yeah.
Okay, the next point is prayer. I'll read a verse, Luke 18:1, and it says, "And he told them a parable to the end that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." And also in Colossians 4:2, it says, "Persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving." So in this matter of the gospel, the high gospel, there is the need to realize that we are fighting, as we saw yesterday and also today, we are fighting the enemy. And so many of the ones that we are battling so that they could receive the Lord, or they could be open, or they could even meet with us, there's so many frustrations, there's so many blockages, and the only way we could fight this battle is with others, is by praying. And maybe you have a classmate, and this classmate, you know, every time you see them, the Lord is just there. How about this one? How about this one?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one time you had a chance to mention something, and they were closed. And they were closed. So we need to be those who persevere in prayer.
Amen.
With our companions. So I'll let Giovanni come up just to share his experience of learning how to persevere in prayer, and also bring it up, you know, among the saints. Hey, this is, I'm burdened for this one. Can we pray for them?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how long it takes, but as we persevere, the Lord can do something.
So, hi, my name is Giovanni. So, I had an experience in high school, like junior year to senior year. It was about my best friend. So, his name was Angel Murillo. So, the way how I preached the gospel to him, or he found out that how I was a Christian, was that he would always tell me what I would be doing on Friday, Saturday, Sundays, and I would tell him I would go to meetings. And then by next week, he'll tell me, "Wait, what type of meetings do you go to?" To put it simply, just a Bible study time, like for my church life. And he told me that from what time to what time? Well, Fridays from 6 to 9, Saturdays from 7 to 9, Sunday all day. And he's like, I mean, you gotta spend time with the saints on Sundays. So, He told me, like, oh, it's because I wanted to, like, invite you to go skate, because me and him would always go skate a lot. So then one day I would go to his house, and I would just, like, by hints, little by little, I would just bring up the word of God.
Wow.
So that he could understand. And then one time he just told me about that he believes in the word of God, but he's just, like, not Christian. He's desperately seeking God, but he doesn't know what to do. So then from that on, I was like, Lord, help this my best friend, Lord, speak through me so that I could save him.
Amen.
So it was a battle, like a pretty, like a good year and a half battle, because I was praying for him for a year and a half with the trainings so that I could save my best friend and to bring him to the church life. So little by little, I would just talk to him about the word of God every day, like go to his house, we'll play video games, and then we'll spend like at least a good 2 hours just talking about the word of God.
Wow.
And then he finally decided to come to a home meeting. So when he came to a home meeting, I was getting sick. He decided to come to a home meeting, but then he's like, oh, can I come to a home meeting this Friday? And I was like, I'm going to Big Bear with the Saints. And he's like, oh, really? Like, is there another one on Friday? And I was like, yeah, sure, I can take you on Friday. But if you want, I can share it to you what I have enjoyed at Big Bear or, like, with the Saints. So I came back on Monday. I shared to him, gave him an outline, gave him some ministry books. And then he was just excited. He's like, can't wait for Friday. Like, I want to go to a home meeting. And he was literally counting his days to come to a home meeting. So when I was getting sick, that day I got sick, and I was like, oh, Lord, like, what should I do? Should I call my best friend and tell him, like, I can't go or what? And I knew it was the enemy, because I was like, you know what? I know this is the enemy. Whether I'm sick or not, I'm still going to take him to his first meeting. I'm still going to, like, take him with all the training so he could shepherd him. And then I took him, and then he just told me that he was thankful that he actually came to a home meeting. So then we prayed for him, a deep prayer just to receive the Lord. And then we had fellowship with the saints, with the trainees, and we were just praying for him again, just so that he could be baptized and receive the Lord. So then, after a few weeks, he decided to get baptized. So it was like, I still remember the day, it was June 12, 2016, the day he got baptized. But ever since that, I'm still shepherding, you know, even though, like, he went off to boot camp for the army. I still shepherd him, because he'll sometimes come to meetings, but I would go to his home. We'll just talk for like a good 3 minutes, but then he'll just wait for me, like, so, do you have anything to share to me? Like, any word? And I was like, oh, for sure. Like, yeah. So every day, we would spend like, it went from 2 hours to like 4 to 5 hours just talking about the word of God, just speaking to him. So like, last time I went to the semi-annual, I bought him like ministry books, just to give it to him. He was like, wow, ministry books. Like, dude, I really enjoy these. Like, I like reading these. And I was like, I'll get you more if you want. He's like, yeah, for sure. Like, get me more. I was like, okay. Get me a pocket Bible too. I was like, okay, for sure. I'll get you a pocket Bible. Just to take it with you. But yeah, I would like shepherd him with the saints so that he could just receive the Lord. So that, because he's hungry. He's just hungry to receive the Lord. So pray, just, if you care about someone, if you know someone is desperately seeking the Lord, just pray for that person. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Because even though you say, Lord, I thank you that he's already been baptized, it might have been today, but it's already been done. Because the Lord has already done what he has done, like basically just spoke through me, saved my friend, so that he could just come to the church life. Amen. Even though it took me for like almost a year and a half. So that's pretty much.
Amen. That's encouraging that you can spend a year and a half to pray somebody, pray for somebody to receive the Lord and not give up. So that brings us to another practical point. Look for the opportunity. I have some personal experience about looking for the opportunity. It's kind of negative. It's about an uncle that I have, and he didn't believe in the Lord. But he always inquired, because sometimes I would come out to California and I would go to these conferences every 6 months, the trainings, and I would stay with my uncle sometimes and my aunt before I would go, And he would always ask me, what is it? And I always looked at him because he was, he was well accomplished. I thought he was happy with where he was. And sometimes he would say something to me, and I would just have a stirring within. I'd just say something to him. But I thought, I thought maybe it's not for him. Maybe, he would reject me. I don't know. And I was in college, and I really looked up to him. Maybe like 6 months later that I visited his home, he died. And I always regretted within me, oh man, what if I would have said something to him? And I just remember there was this one time we were together in his office hanging out and not doing anything but just talking. And I kind of felt something pulling, man, just say just one thing, whatever it is, just open your mouth. And I was like, oh man, I don't know what to say. And I didn't agree with the Lord. And to this day, it still haunts me, that experience of not seizing the opportunity, taking the opportunity to speak something of the Lord to somebody, especially those that we're close to our classmates, to our friends, like Giovanni, the people that are on our heart. The Lord sometimes presents these opportunities, and it's like a little door is open suddenly to say something, and there's something stirring up within you. Oh, I should say something. I don't know what to say. And don't let it go. Right? Mm-hmm. Step through the door. Mm-hmm. So let's have Moselle. Let's have Moselle come up. And this is her seizing the opportunity.
Amen.
With a classmate of hers.
So last semester, I had a similar experience where I had an opportunity to speak to a classmate, and I didn't take it. Throughout the whole semester, the Lord was bugging me, speak something to her, say something to her, and I never did. I didn't say anything. And this semester, the Lord sovereignly placed another girl in two of my classes. And I'm really nervous. She would wait for me before class started, and after class would end, she would wait for me to walk together. Mm. And she would always want to talk to me, and so she would kind of like follow me like to see what I was going to do or where I was going. And at first I was like, man, this seems like the previous semester.
Wow.
And I still was in that situation where I was like, Lord, I don't know how to lose my faith, like how to speak to her. What do I say to her?
Yeah.
Inwardly, there was like all these conversations with the Lord. What do I do?
Uh-huh.
And so we just started a study group, and we ended up going to the math center. And in the math center, she had hinted that she wanted to have lunch to try this place. And I had just made an appointment with the trainees. So what I told her was, why don't you join me?
Wow.
And she flat out was like, no. I was like, no. And I was like, and so I was like, okay, well, it's fine. So we kept studying, and then I asked her again, because she was by herself. And I was like, are you sure? Like, we're just going to eat and, have some coffee, like nothing weird. And she was like, okay, fine.
Wow.
So she came, and it was really sweet because the trainees and I, we didn't even really talk about the Lord. It was just very normal. But at the same time, I was really, really nervous because I knew that this was my classmate, and I was going to have to keep seeing her for the rest of the semester in two of my classes. And so I was like, Lord, Anyways, I was really nervous, and then eventually we brought up the Lord, and I was really impressed because she ended up telling us that she had been seeking the Lord, but she never felt him.
Wow.
So she said that she was in, her family is really Catholic, and they're very involved, and she tried, but she just could never be in it. She never felt the Lord, she never felt like it was real. And so, when she said that, I immediately, just something within me stirred, and I just had to share my experience. And so I had to lose my faith.
Wow.
And I just shared with her how God isn't a feeling. But God is a person. Yes. And in order to get to know this person and this person to get close to us, we have to have a relationship with him. We have to call him his name. And long story short, we called the name together.
Amen.
And she ended up going to an outing with me and she loved it. She ended up telling me that she was so thankful and she realized that God had placed me in her life.
Wow.
So that I could bring her to him.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Yeah, that was really good. I really enjoyed that testimony when I heard it earlier today. And here again, it's just as sweet, right? The Lord is placing people in our lives so we can help bring them to know the Lord.
And they're waiting. I don't know how to know him.
I don't know how to find him. Where is he? Maybe this takes a little bit of losing our face. You know, they might reject us and still have to sit next to us in class for another couple of semesters. It's okay. It's okay. There's worse things in life, right? So the next point we'll talk about is set your heart and don't give up. Set your heart and don't give up. I like these verses in John. John 4:34 says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then the harvest comes? Behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest." And then it says in 36, "He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life, in order that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." So the point there is, when you're speaking to somebody, it could be a reaping, praise the Lord, or it could just be a sowing, right? It doesn't take.
Yeah.
There's no reaping at that moment, right? They don't accept the Lord, but it's okay. It's a sowing.
Amen.
And you know what? You both rejoice together.
Amen.
So set your heart and don't give up. Let's have Vicky, Sarah, and Audrey come up. And these are just some short testimonies from different campuses of the gospel, of not giving up and just setting a time to speak the gospel.
Hi, I'm Vicky. I'm a third year at Cal State Long Beach. So this past semester, our trainees have been coming, and we have this singing time every Tuesday, and I've been going to that. But also, sometimes they like to ask students to go with them on the gospel. So one day, this trainee sister asked me to go with her to preach the gospel, and just like right then and then, I just started making excuses. I just got back from the gym. I was sweaty, and I was like, I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know what to say. And she's like, just come. So I just came. And even while we were walking through campus looking for people to talk to, I was just making excuses. Like she said, "What about that girl sitting on the bench?" I was like, "No, she's listening to music. She's on her computer. She doesn't want to talk to us." And but we just went to her anyway. And the trainee sister approached her. She was like, "Hi, can we talk to you?" And she just like took her earbuds out. She was like, "Hi." So we introduced ourselves. We found out she's a freshman. And then we were just talking, just being normal. And then she asked us if we wanted to listen to one of the poems she was writing, and we said sure. So she was reading her poems to us, and we were just listening, and maybe we went through like two or three poems. Mm. But eventually that led to her just talking about her family life, and we actually found out she had a lot of like struggles and difficulties in her life, and you know, we were just complete strangers. So we were just listening to her, and then she asked us, like, "Oh, what religion are you guys?" And we were like, "Oh, we're Christian." And she was like, "Oh, I'm Buddhist." And she told us that she was Catholic, but when she was going through these difficulties, she, like, asked the Lord why, and he would never answer, and stuff like that. So then we asked her, like, "Oh, what, when you were Catholic, did you ever receive the Lord? Like, you may have believed him, but did you receive him?" And she didn't know what that was, so we told her, like, the Lord is in our spirit. So whenever we go through situations like that, we just turn to him. And this brings us closer to him. Like, it's a relationship and he's a person. And so we talked a little more, and she just thanked us for talking to her. And even told us to like come find her again at the same little spot.
Don't give up.
So like in the end, you know, we didn't get her number. It's not like she came to home meeting and she got baptized and she's meeting with us, but afterwards, I just felt like such peace, and I was happy because the Lord was happy.
Yeah.
This is our function, to preach the gospel. So, yeah, I just really enjoyed that. Okay, well, I had a friend, and I actually met her through one of the sisters, and she wanted me to meet up with her. And we ended up being really good friends. We got along really well. And she's an unbeliever, so she doesn't really know anything about the Bible. And she asked me questions, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't know anything. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I have a question, I don't know anything. But like, I talked to the sister about it, and she's like, you know, it's okay that you don't know. She's like, just let me know if like anything comes up that you don't know, because I'm always here for you. I'm just like, wow, thank the Lord that I don't need to know everything. And that even though I wasn't able to answer her questions very well, she still really wanted to come to the meetings, and she still wanted to meet up with me even though I didn't know everything. And yeah, amen.
So I'm a senior at Chapman, and my first time preaching the gospel was sophomore year when we were going through freshman orientation. We split up into groups, and my group ended up going to the street where all the professors were. And that was very hard. I was really discouraged. It was my first time actually going out in the gospel, and every door was shut in our face. And I think after that, every time someone would ask me to preach the gospel, like, I'm terrified. I don't want to go. This semester, one of our trainees was on campus, and her GP, her gospel partner, was sick, and I still happened to be on campus and was free. So she asked me if I wanted to go preach the gospel with her. And inside, I was going, no, I do not want to go. But all I could say was amen. And I don't know, just we picked some verses that we enjoyed from the Bible study, and we prayed over it, and then we just matter of just going and picking someone to talk to.
Wow.
And so we picked a girl, and then we asked her, could we share something with you? And she's like, sure. But do you know you have a human spirit? And it was just really awesome, because I always have this low, I don't know, this low expectation of people, or like really negative that they're going to reject me.
Yeah.
But they're just always so willing and open, like they're really seeking.
Wow.
And after we shared, I was just so pumped up. I was like, okay, let's go to the next person. And so we went to another girl, and we shared. And to both those girls, we invited them to the Bible study. Neither of them came, but that was just a sowing, even though we didn't reap anything.
Right.
What's definite is that the Lord has gained you in preaching the gospel. Just denying your natural man and saying amen and going out to preach is him, is you opening the way for the Lord to continue working.
Amen. So we'll have one more come up. Miles can come up and give his experience of preaching the gospel in college. But see, these weren't success stories, right? They weren't success stories, and this is normal.
Yeah.
Not every time it's success.
Right.
It's okay. But what? Rejoicing.
Amen.
In your sowing. They're still rejoicing.
Amen.
So come, Miles. Here.
So I remember. I went to a college conference very similar to this. It was on the gospel of the kingdom. And I remember it just really revolutionizing my view of the gospel. And I, in a sense, I realized how rich I was. I was like a nephew who realized that I had an uncle that died and I inherited all these riches. And even Paul, he wrote that, to me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given to announce the unsearchable riches of the gospel.
Amen.
Right? In a sense, I just realized how like just the Lord is so rich, and we've inherited this, so we just need to go and speak.
Yeah.
So I was very energized to go speak the gospel during my last 2 years of college. I'd even try going once a week And even there was a while where I made a point to go every single day.
Wow.
But the problem was I was going by myself. Mm. I didn't always have people to go with. I would ask trainees some days. I would ask maybe serving ones or even other brothers to go. But it was just never very consistent. So I struggled a lot with that. But finally, I found a brother and another serving one who also felt similarly with me to go on the gospel. And we tried going on the gospel every single week. And Nathan shared, it wasn't a success. You know, it wasn't a success all the time. You know, a lot of the time the Lord is just trying to gain us. You know, and I remember really struggling with this, especially, you know, I come to these college conferences again and I'd hear people like, oh, I preached the gospel to my best friend, he got saved. You know, but, you know, it's not always like that. But, you know, this made us really desperate. And we began praying for our gospel times, like during the week, and really praying before we went out. And I remember being very discouraged at times, but we eventually, I think it was just really through the prayer that there was this one instance that was really remarkable. I feel like it was one of the last days of the school year. And me and this brother, the brother that we spoke to probably about 3 or 4 or 5 people, and none of them got saved. And we were just, you know, we were thinking, you know, it's okay, you know, let's give up, or not give up, but just go, because we had to go and do things. We were just walking, and then this student came out from a hallway from that building, and I wasn't even expecting it, but the brother said, hey, he started talking to this guy. And then we just asked him a little about himself. He was studying math. He never really heard much about the Lord. He was an atheist. But then we showed him these verses about his spirit. And we told him about calling on the Lord. And we asked him if he wanted to call on the Lord with us. So he called with us.
Wow.
And then we asked if he wanted to pray with us. He prayed with us. And I feel like touching that was, it was so special. You know, even more so after going out so much and not having anything, you know, no success. But when we touched that, I was so thankful that the Lord didn't let us give up, you know.
Amen.
We just kept going.
Amen.
So really, I think when it comes down to it, it's really being desperate and having someone to go with. I think it's so awesome. It's I hope we all can experience it.
Amen. Let's all say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Those are all good. So we're now we have about 35 minutes, roughly, for dinner. Right, it's 5:30. Is dinner? You probably hear the bell in your groups. It's okay. You don't have to jump up and run to the line for 15 minutes. But you can pause, you know, for a little while and get up right before 5:30 and then get in line. It's okay. So we'll get into our groups. What we'll do in our groups, I'm going to give you a little list of things. One, break the ice. So if you don't know each other, just introduce yourselves. You know, open up who you are, what your major is, what school you go to, where you're from. And then the second thing, number two, is share your enjoyment from any of the messages, from any of the speaking, or from anything that you read. This last day, you know, we've been together, and of the conference. Number three, share your experience or feeling about the gospel, and maybe you can open up some of these things in a positive way or for prayer. Just kind of open up to one another concerning the gospel, and maybe some that will have positive experiences that will help others. This way, we can have a little blending in our groups. And then finally, if you have like a bunch of time left, you don't know what to do with yourself, you can share, you know, something about your testimony, how you came to know the Lord or reconsecrate yourself to the Lord, some things that touched you in the past. So that's what we'll do in the groups. Maybe the sisters can meet here in this room, kind of like, I don't know if you're going to have to raise up your numbers and hands or just kind of try to stand in order, sisters are 12 or 13 to 24 around the room or something like that. Brothers can maybe go outside and kind of do something similar. Just make it known what number you are. I know it's hard to do 15 with your fingers. But you were all... Yeah, one. Okay, so all 24 in here. One.
The 24. Can you mention what's on the bottom?
It's on the bottom of your name tag. Sisters in here. Okay. Which are start at 13 or 12. They go up to 24. Brothers outside do the same thing. Okay, so brothers are outside. Sisters are in there. And you can find a place to sit and be in a group together.